You are listening to End of Life University Podcast, Real Talk About Life and Death. This is episode number 152. Welcome to End of Life University Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Wyatt, hospice physician, author, and educator. In this podcast, I share thoughtful conversations with experts in various fields related to dying and death, and informative teaching sessions on preparing for the end of life by living fully today. And hey, everyone, I want to thank you for joining me today for another episode. I'm going to be talking about the many ways to be in service to the dying. This will be a solo episode again with just me sharing my ideas and thoughts with you. And we'll get to that in just a few moments, but I have a few announcements prior to that. This podcast has a new sponsor, which is the Authentic Presence courses from the Spiritual Care Program. And I'm going to tell you just a little bit about Authentic Presence. This is a training program which addresses crucial training needs most frequently requested by professionals, developing skills in understanding and relieving deeper sources of suffering, building inner resources for empathy and compassion, developing resilience and the ability to respond to stressful care environments, and helping patients and their families find new meaning, sources of strength, and ways to make a genuine connection with loved ones. So these Authentic Presence courses can be taken individually, or you can combine them together in order to get a certificate. And the courses have been designed for professionals working in the fields of medicine, human and social services, students and trained volunteers who are currently serving the seriously ill or dying and engaged in a clinical setting. So I encourage you to check out the Authentic Presence training through the Spiritual Care Program at spcare.org, and I will include a link on the show notes for this episode, number 152, at eolupodcast.com, where you can go directly to the page to read about the Authentic Presence training. And I want to thank so much Kirsten DeLeo and the Spiritual Care Program for becoming a sponsor for the podcast. And I want to mention that some of this training begins in September of 2018. And so if you're interested at all, go there right away and take a look at the training in case you'd like to sign up. Some of it is online, some of it is in person. So go read about that training at spcare.org, the Spiritual Care Program, Authentic Presence Training. Thank you once again for the sponsorship. I'm delighted to have sponsors for this podcast. As you know, I have a donation page at patreon.com/EOLU, where you can sign up if you'd like to support the podcast and become a donor. Even for as little as $1 a month, you can support the podcast and take advantage of some extra bonuses like the monthly Q&A session I call the Hospice Happy Hour. And I would like to thank my latest patron, Althea Halchuk. Thank you so much, Althea, for signing up to be a donor and a supporter of this podcast and also the End of Life University interview series. Again, you can go to patreon.com/EOLU, and Patreon is spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/EOLU, if you'd like to sign up for as little as a dollar a month and become a supporter. So thank you for everyone considering that. I have another announcement, which is this week, the week that this podcast will air, in fact, the very next day, tomorrow, is I'm hosting a webinar with Suzanne O'Brien, RN, from Doula Givers. And Suzanne's going to share with us end-of-life doula training for caregivers and volunteers. This will be a free webinar. And she's condensing her training down into a one-hour training so that you can get the gist of what she teaches people in order to become end-of-life doulas and in order to care for the dying in their neighborhoods or their families. And again, this is non-medical training for end-of-life doulas. However, medical personnel are encouraged and welcome to attend as well, because you'll learn some skills that could be useful if you're interested in caring for the dying. So this webinar is going to take place July 24th, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. You can go to eolunivercity.com/O'Brien, O-B-R-I-E-N, in order to read a little more about it and sign up. Once you register, you'll get all the information you need to attend the webinar and also a handout that you can download that Suzanne has prepared. You'll also receive the replay. So if you can't attend live when the webinar is being broadcast, you'll get a replay of it that you can listen to later. If you do attend live, however, Suzanne will do a question and answer session after the webinar is completed, so you can stay on for another 15 or 20 minutes, and she'll be taking questions. So you'll have a chance to talk with Suzanne and ask her what you would like to know. So I encourage you to register. Again, go to eolunivercity.com/O'Brien, O-B-R-I-E-N. You can also go to the show notes for episode number 152, eolupodcast.com, and there will be a sign-up form on that page where you can sign up to register for the free webinar. I think this will be great training. I'm really excited to hear what Suzanne has to offer. And again, she's boiling down her more extensive training into a one-hour presentation. So this isn't going to teach you everything you would need to know, but it's a great introduction and a great overview of caring for someone at the end of life and what you could go on to learn if you wanted to take any additional training. So I hope you'll be able to join us for the training. I'm really excited about that. And along those same lines, my talk today is on ways to be of service to the dying. And the reason I thought of talking about this today is because I often get questions from people who have themselves either had a recent experience with someone who died, or perhaps their own brush with death or serious illness, and who have awakened to this idea of the end of life, to become accepting and aware of death and dying and the importance of acknowledging death and actually bringing it into life. And I find many people who are longing to do more work in this area, whether they're longing to know more and get educated themselves, or longing to somehow serve and be of use and be helpful to other people, because they may have had an awakening that has inspired them to change how they live their lives, and now they want to share what they have learned, and they're looking for ways to serve. And because of all of these interviews I've been doing, oh gosh, for the past 5 years, I've been interviewing people who work in various aspects of end-of-life care, I have a lot of ideas about things that you might do if you want to be in service to those who are dying, those who are bereaved, or even those who are longing to know more about death and dying. So that's why I wanted to talk about this subject a little bit. If you are someone who has opened to the idea, but you feel like you need more information, you can keep listening to this podcast where I share everything I know, and I also share lots of interviews that I've done in the past and some brand new interviews that haven't been heard before in this podcast. You can sign up as well for End of Life University interview series, where twice a month I post brand new interviews with experts in the end of life field. As I've said, many of those eventually make their way into the podcast, but you can hear them when they're fresh and brand new if you sign up at eoluniversity.com for the speaker series. And that's a great way to get informed and educated about end-of-life issues. For example, coming up this week on End of Life University, I'll be talking with Rain Johnson about using essential oils and aromatherapy at the end of life, which should be a very interesting and informative presentation. I also have other speakers coming up in the future about grief and childhood, about alternative undertakers and morticians, and alternatives for burial options for those who don't want to pursue traditional funerals and burials. So there will be many, many fascinating interviews coming up in the future. If you sign up at eoluniversity.com, you can get an education there if there are more things that you'd like to learn about. But what if you are really interested in actually spending your time hands-on helping the dying? And so I want to give you some more tangible ideas of ways that you might be of service. And first of all, if you're listening to this and you happen to be a physician, a nurse, a nurse practitioner, a physician's assistant, a CNA, a social worker or chaplain, you could work in hospice or palliative care. You could go to a hospice in your local area, look them up in the Yellow Pages. That's actually how I found the hospice I first started working for. Find out what hospices you have. I can guarantee you most hospices are almost always in the need of new staff members. And so even if they're not ready to hire right now, they may be willing to take your resume and keep you on a list, because a lot of hospices right now are experiencing a lot of turnover. Sometimes they also have very urgent needs to increase their staffing because of an increase in census. And so if you feel like you're interested in hospice, you could contact a local hospice, meet with them, find out if you have the right credentials to work with them, also what type of training they offer. And it might be if you're someone who's never worked. So I'm talking about professionals, medical professionals. If you've never worked in the hospice arena, you will need more training. Some hospices provide that training, on-the-job training, learning by following other staff members around. Some might send you to a training program or courses where you can learn what you need to know in order to work in hospice. Palliative care is also an option. At this time, most palliative care programs are inpatient programs in hospitals, and you would have to call local hospitals to find out if they have a palliative care program in your area, though some palliative care programs are starting outpatient centers as well to provide palliative care in the home, and you would be able to do some home visits in that case. If you're a physician, you would most likely need to get training and possibly become board certified in hospice and palliative medicine in order to work in palliative care. Others, if you have an interest, check with your local palliative care program and find out what they might require from you. Bring in all of your current certifications and all the training that you've had currently to find out if you could meet their needs to work for them. So this is talking about professionals again, physicians, nurses, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, certified nursing assistants, social worker, chaplain. But also there is a need in hospice programs for volunteers, a very big need, in fact, because Medicare certified hospices are required to have a certain percentage of volunteers on their staff who who work in different capacities within hospice. If you sign up to be a hospice volunteer, you could actually do many different types of work. I know some volunteers who work in the office as a support person and help answer telephones and do filing and run errands and organize information, schedule meetings and things like that. And there's a huge need for that type of volunteer work within a hospice too, just doing administrative work. But you can also be a volunteer patient visitor within hospice. So you can get special training as a hospice volunteer to go into patients' homes and sit with them. You might also be a volunteer at an inpatient hospice and visit with patients and families there in an inpatient center. You will need training again, but hospices who have volunteer programs do provide that training. And it can vary in length and scope, but I encourage you, if you're interested in being of service, being a hospice volunteer is an excellent way to get more acquainted with death and dying, to learn about it, to learn some skills, and also to meet with patients and families, which is an amazing experience. When you have the privilege of coming into the home or sitting at the bedside with someone who is facing the end of their life, it is a very profound time in that person's life and very rich, with lots of meaning. Not saying that it's always happy or always pleasant or joyful, but to be able to be of assistance and be of service to a patient and family in that situation is a very profound opportunity. So again, if you would like to become a hospice volunteer, find out what hospices are in your area. Look for Medicare certified hospices, or you might have a non-certified hospice that has a robust volunteer program as well. And just give them a call and ask them what, if they're looking for volunteers, if they have openings, what kind of training they offer. If you live in a community where you have more than one program, you might want to call a few of them so that you can make comparisons and find out what would be the best fit for you. If you're in a large urban area, maybe you want a hospice that covers a territory near where you live so that you wouldn't have to travel too far away. Those are things for you to think about. But again, you can just make some phone calls. It will take a little bit of footwork for you to find out what's out there and what they need. But if you have had any thoughts at all of being a hospice volunteer, I encourage you to look into that. It will be one of the best experiences of your life. There are other ways to volunteer as well with patients at the end of life. There's a program called No One Dies Alone, which is a beautiful program. Within hospitals, they provide training, and volunteers come and sit with those who are dying in the hospital who have no family members or loved ones who come to visit them. And the idea is to be able to provide round-the-clock visitation for those patients so that they are not left alone in their last days of life. If you were a volunteer for No One Dies Alone, you would have a certain schedule that you would volunteer for when you're willing to be called in. And it's really a matter of being on call at certain times and getting called in by the nursing staff when they sense a certain patient on their service is close to death and has no one, no family, no friends, no one who can be called to come and be with them. It is a beautiful program. And again, you'll be trained in order to know how to be with the dying patient and what to expect. But that program is called No One Dies Alone. I will post a link in the show notes to an interview I did with Ann Gordon, who is the current director of No One Dies Alone, and also a link to the website where you can learn more information. You have to have an existing program in your hospital in order to sign up for it. But if you're interested in it, you can get information about how to start a program, a No One Dies Alone program, in your local hospital if you have buy-in from staff members of the hospital who you know, who you think would be interested in working together. You might be able to create a No One Dies Alone program in your own hospital, and I highly recommend that. Another option for very meaningful volunteer work is the Threshold Choir. If you're interested in music, if you sing and you'd like to be part of a singing group, Threshold Choirs visit patients at the end of life and provide musical support for patients and their families, singing very beautiful music. I'm going to post to a link that I did about Threshold Choir that even has some of the, a recording of some of the music that they sing. So many different areas have their own Threshold Choir in the community. A volunteer group of people, they get together and rehearse and practice the music, and then they make themselves available when they are needed to go into homes, perhaps a nursing home, even a hospital or inpatient hospice where patients are residing at the end of life, and they sing this very beautiful music, which is very soothing for patients, family members, and staff members as well. So that's another beautiful type of volunteer work you could do if you are a if you are interested in music and you like to sing and you'd like to volunteer. Another organization you could volunteer for is Twilight Brigade. They provide people to visit with and sit with veterans at the end of life. So again, you can, I'll post a link to Twilight Brigade online. You can read about it, find out if you have a Twilight Brigade in your area, if it's something that you'd like to volunteer for. Another idea is to become involved, to volunteer to be a pet therapist. If you have a pet that has been trained to become a therapy animal, or you have a training program and you'd like to have, you have a pet, a dog, a cat, I guess many other types of pets have become visitors, you could get certified to take your pet into a hospice or a long-term care facility to visit families. And so pet therapy is another great way to be of service. And if you happen to be a pet owner and you have a very special pet who's already trained in therapy, or could be, or you recognize your pet has the potential to be very soothing and helpful to others, it's important to get the training first. I'm going to link again to an interview I did. It's a previous podcast about pet therapy. So you do need to get the training for your pet to make sure your pet's appropriate. But there's another idea of a way that you could be of service that could be very, very helpful to people at the end of life. And if you listen to that previous podcast, you'll see what I mean and just how valuable pet therapy can be. There are other ways of being, other places to be a volunteer in a hospital in your area or a skilled nursing facility. They may have programs where you could come in and volunteer to work with patients or visit patients. And perhaps your church might have a visitation program too that you could volunteer for, if you're a member of a church. So those are just a lot of ideas for being a volunteer and helping people at the end of life. Another idea that is just bursting on the scene right now is to become an end-of-life doula. And you heard me mention the webinar, the free webinar with Suzanne O'Brien, which is end-of-life doula training for caregivers and volunteers. So that webinar would be a great way to learn more about becoming an end-of-life doula, but I'm just going to explain a little bit about it right now. end-of-life doulas are modeled, in a sense, after birth doulas and birth midwives who help with this natural time of transition, birth and death. And so end-of-life doulas are non-medically trained. You don't have to have a medical degree or know anything about medicine to become a doula, because what you're offering is the type of support that patients and families need beyond what the medical system offers to them. So it's giving emotional and spiritual support, being present for the family and the patient. Even learning some skills about how to help guide if a family wants to create a ritual, or if a patient wants to work on finding meaning in their life or creating a legacy, you would learn some skills to assist the family and the patient with some of those end-of-life tasks that are outside of the purview of the medical staff that's working with them. And so end-of-life doulas, there is now a program to become certified as an end-of-life doula, and many hospices are utilizing doulas, some as volunteers, some as paid positions. It depends on the hospice you work with. It does cost money to get the certification training that you would need, but end-of-life doula training is really springing up around the U.S. and Canada as well. And so it's another option if you're interested in getting certified and getting specific training in order to be hands-on and work with the dying. This is a great way to go to become an end-of-life doula. So if you're not already medically trained and it's not possible for you to get a medical position within a hospice, and you'd like to go beyond being just a regular volunteer, you could become a volunteer end-of-life doula within a hospice, or also just working in your own community and neighborhood with patients and families who are facing the end of life, whether or not you're affiliated with a hospice. So if you can, sign up for the webinar with Suzanne O'Brien, because that would be a great way for you to learn more about being an end-of-life doula. And again, you can go to eoluniversity.com/O'Brien, O-B-R-I-E-N, in order to hear that training with Suzanne. Another idea for how to be of service to the dying is around the idea of being a caregiver for a dying person, or helping others, training others to become a caregiver. I mention this because one of our greatest needs in the coming decade is for caregivers who can care for the seriously ill and the dying in their homes at the end of life. As baby boomers age and face their own end of life, we have this huge population explosion of people reaching the end of life all at the same time. And a shortage of both private paid caregivers and family caregivers. So we need any type of creativity or innovation we can find in that area. So you could think about getting training to become a caregiver yourself, and the end-of-life doula training would actually be excellent in many ways to help with that, but also training so that you could help others who are already caring for their loved ones at home, so that you could learn skills that you could pass on and share with them. You could also, some creative entrepreneurial people could start businesses training caregivers who are willing to be paid caregivers and go out into the community, because we're going to have such a big need for it that I believe there are opportunities in most communities to provide bonded, certified caregivers who have been trained, who can be hired by privately by families to come in and help care for their loved ones. So there's an opportunity there, whether you'd like to do it as a volunteer or try to create a business out of it, training caregivers. I think there are opportunities in the near future to do much more work around caregiving. So you yourself could become a caregiver and get the training. You could train other people as caregivers. You could even start a business hiring caregivers, training people to be caregivers, and helping them find work, matching them with families who need caregivers in the community. So that is just going to be an ongoing need everywhere. And you may have more creative ideas around it than I have, but it's something very important. I will have an upcoming interview on End of Life University about the importance of caregivers. So over the next couple months, we'll be talking about that as well in the future. Another idea for how to be of service to the dying, and this is in service of dying patients, but also in service of death itself in a way, in service of death awareness and helping our communities become more proactive, more accepting, and more engaging of death and the dying process. You could become a death education teacher. And if you have an interest in end-of-life issues, if you already have experience or training in the end-of-life arena, and you love the idea of teaching, this could be a very good way for you to be of service. Some people really want to be involved, but they don't feel themselves suited to actually be hands-on care providers. But being a teacher may suit them better. And so if that is the case for you, if it doesn't feel so comfortable for you to actually go into a home and sit with a dying person, you might want to serve more upstream in the process by being a teacher and teaching people within your community. I have done a few podcasts about the importance of death education, and it's really my big emphasis for 2018, encouraging people to become death education teachers. And there are just so many different things that you could teach about. You could teach people about the importance of advance directives and how to complete their own living will and how to make use of it, where to store it, where to keep it, how to make sure other people know about it, how to have conversations about death and dying. You could teach a community education class, perhaps at a community college, and teach people about things they're curious about around death and dying. You will find that the majority of people in your community don't know very much about death and dying. Even those who have had loved ones die and have attended funerals may still feel like they don't know very much about this entire process and all that goes on. And the more you know, the more you would have to share with them to help them get more comfortable with conversations about death and dying and even planning ahead for their own death. You could talk to them about options for care at the end of life and how to make sure others know what type of care you'd like to have and honor your wishes. You could talk to them about options for funerals, such as having a home funeral, or having some kind of alternative funeral rather than just a standard funeral inside a funeral home. You could teach people about green burial and how to be more friendly to the environment as they the body is disposed of after death. So there are so many different topics that you could teach about and talk about if you're interested in teaching classes. It requires some creativity on your part to come up with ideas and think of the class that you would like to teach. But there's such a need for it all over in all of our communities that I'd love to have you, if you feel interested at all, I'd love to have you consider becoming a teacher of death and dying classes. We also have a need for those who can teach high school students and college students about death and dying issues. So if you have a master's degree or a PhD in education or even in some other subject area that's relevant, you could consider teaching a class in death and dying at the high school level or in the community college level. If you want a little bit more inspiration, I have a free ebook that you can download, a teaching guidelines for death and dying classes that you can get on the show notes for this episode, eolupodcast.com. Search for episode number 152, and I will have a link to those guidelines, just a free ebook that you can read through on your computer. Don't print it because it's in full color, and it would use up all of your ink if you tried to print it. It has a lot of pages with a black background, so don't plan on printing it. Just keep it. Download it to your computer and you can have it there to refer to. And also I have been teaching a couple of work groups on creating death and dying classes, and you can sign up on a mailing list that you'll find out about if you get those guidelines. If once you get the guidelines, you'll actually be on the mailing list and you'll hear about the very next work group whenever that is scheduled. So you could join that if you're interested. So that was my fifth idea about something, a way to serve the dying. And it's really serving upstream by teaching more people and helping them get more comfortable with what they need to know about death and dying. A sixth idea is to start a community event for your entire community, some sort of event that would help educate and increase awareness of death and dying in your community. So this is an event, I mean, if you teach a class, that is one type of an event, but as a community event, you might do something like start a film series and bring in once a month a film about end-of-life issues with a discussion afterwards. You might want to start a book club where people read the same book each month and then have discussion groups about the books and talk about them. And I'm currently conducting an online reading group called A Year of Reading Dangerously, where we have almost 1,000 people from around the world who signed up. We're all reading the same books every month, and you're welcome to join that. If you'd like to get some ideas for perhaps starting a book club in your community, you can sign up for A Year of Reading Dangerously if you're interested. Find out what books we've been reading. You can even listen to recordings of our book discussions that we've had once each month so far, and we're more than halfway through now, through the year of 2018, reading books. So come to the show notes, eolupodcast.com, look for episode 152, and I'll have a link to A Year of Reading Dangerously so you can find out more about that if you're interested in doing a book club. I mentioned the film series. I have a list of films I have a podcast about how to start a film series in your community, so I'll link to that. Another idea is to start a death cafe, and you can go to episode number 32, I believe, and find out about how to start a death cafe in your community if you're interested in that. I think that is something also really helpful for communities. They're easy to start. You can go to deathcafe.com. They have guidelines on their website for how to start a death cafe in your community, which is just a discussion group that could meet sometimes monthly or even less often. If you only wanted to meet a couple of times a year, you can convene a death cafe, bring people together in your community for the purpose of talking about death and dying. But death cafe has no agenda, no program, no speaker. It's participant-led discussion. Those people who come and show up talk about whatever they want to related to the end of life. So there's always a different discussion and a different topic every time a death cafe gets together, but it's a fascinating experience. So that's another way that you could be of service in your community if you would like to host a death cafe. Also, you could have a speaker series where you bring in various guest speakers from time to time who come and do presentations in your community about different topics. And so you might even find that you have a number of people in your own community who would be great speakers, like an elder care attorney who helps people create their advance directives. That would be someone you could bring in as a speaker. You could a funeral home director to talk about cremation. You can look around and see who's there. You might have hospice or palliative care workers who could come in and talk about death and dying and end-of-life options from their perspective. And perhaps a chaplain or a clergy member to talk about spiritual issues around death and dying. So you could do a speaker series just with people right in your own community. Find out who's there and who you could tap and ask to come to do a little event in your community. For example, my local senior center in my community hosts a series each autumn called Aging Gracefully. And so they just bring in lots of different speakers who already live here, already work here, who are happy to come and share their wisdom and talk about later life, aging, and the end of life. So that's an idea for another way to create a community event. If you'd like to do something to be of service to the dying and to the end of life movement by creating this community event of some sort. The seventh idea I have, and this is a tough one, so this isn't something that very many people will actually probably be able to pull off, takes a huge amount of effort and will and support to create a social model hospice. And a social model hospice is a residence where people who are not able to stay in their own home to receive hospice care can come and live. And a social model hospice, it's usually manned by a lot of volunteers and nursing assistants who help take care of patients in their last days of life who need a place to live and a roof over their heads. Sometimes some social model hospices serve people who already are homeless. Others, though, serve those who perhaps just don't have safe living conditions at home or don't have access to a caregiver that could care for them at home. But patients who don't really need to be in an inpatient setting, they don't need to be in a hospital or an inpatient hospice because they don't need that level of medical care. So the social model hospice, it's a non-medical hospice where they are given the care that they need and a roof over their heads as they face the end of life. And so it's a little bit of a different concept from hospice in that it has more of a non-medical approach, but I think it's very much needed. We need as many of these in as many communities as we can get them. The problem right now is it's just difficult sometimes because you have to have a building and a space and volunteers and fundraising in order to put this together. So it's a lot of work to create it, but an incredibly worthwhile project. If you could get this going in your own community, it would be a beautiful thing to create a social model hospice. And I have a link to a previous podcast episode about a social model hospice, too, if you're interested in that. So I realize I've given you a lot of information here and lots of links to connect you to other web pages and podcasts and interviews and things, and that most likely there's no way that you could listen to everything and take in everything. So I hope you'll look back and I'll review this list for you one last time. What resonated most with you as I was talking? Is there something that I mentioned that stood out to you as, yes, that is something I would like to do, that fits me, that would please me, that's a way I'd like to serve? Then I would say go back to that number, that idea, and check out those resources if you feel like that's a way you would be interested in serving the dying. So the list I gave you, first of all, is if you are a professional, already trained professional, you may want to see if you could shift your work, your specialty of work, into hospice or palliative care. It would require most likely some extra training, but you would need to talk with your local hospice. If you have a palliative care program, find out what their needs are. And here, by being a professional, I mentioned if you're a physician, a nurse, nurse practitioner, physician assistant, CNA, social worker, chaplain, check into hospice and palliative care in your area. Find out if there's a need. Find out if you have the qualifications and what additional training you might need and what they provide for you, and how they could help you move into a new line of work in order to be of service to the dying. So that's for professionals, but also for volunteers, a huge need for volunteers in hospice care, which you can find out about by calling your hospice. But some of the other areas where you can volunteer are No One Dies Alone, Threshold Choir, Twilight Brigade, pet therapy. I think I forgot to mention this, but Meals on Wheels, most communities have and could probably use help there. Check with any local skilled nursing facilities you have if they need volunteers, hospitals, through your church or churches in your area who might have set up a volunteer visitation program as well. So those are ideas if you'd like to volunteer to help the dying at the end of life. You could also become an end-of-life doula, and again, I'll mention the training on Tuesday, July 24th, if you're listening to this as soon as the broadcast goes out, with Suzanne O'Brien. She'll be talking about end-of-life doula training for caregivers and volunteers in that webinar. And even if the webinar is over with, you can still sign up and you'll get the emails that go out and the replay of it to listen to later, even if you've already missed the date. Then I mentioned the idea of caregiver, either taking a caregiver training course yourself or starting some sort of caregiver volunteer program or even a business in your community to help provide the very much needed caregivers for those who are want to stay in their own homes. Caregivers are really crucial for improving end-of-life care. We must have more caregivers available. So whether you yourself become a volunteer caregiver or train to be a caregiver, train other people, or start some sort of business, you would be of tremendous service by entering into this arena of caregiving. And stay tuned to End of Life University, because I'll be talking much more about the need for caregivers in an upcoming interview with Jane Barton. So watch for that interview. The next idea was to become a death education teacher, and I have links to learn more about that and download an ebook about that. Then also to start a community event, such as film series, book club, speaker series, death cafe in your community. And then finally, to start a social model hospice in your community, which is by far the most difficult of all of these ways of being of service to the dying. But I wanted to mention it and put it out there because you never know when someone will hear the idea and think, that's for me, that's what I want to do. So thanks for tuning in and listening to all of my ideas. I hope it's been helpful to those of you listening out there who have had questions about ways to be of service for the dying. And I hope you'll look into some of these possibilities. And I hope you really do follow through. If you have the inspiration right now, please find the courage within yourself to actually make some phone calls and learn some more and step up and do get involved in the end-of-life movement. You won't regret it, and it will change your life in profound ways. I guarantee you that. So one last time, I want to thank my sponsor for this episode, which is the Authentic Presence Training from the Spiritual Care Program at spcare.org. Please go there and check out the trainings that they have available coming up this fall. Again, you can also go to patreon.com/EOLU if you'd like to sign up to become a monthly patron. I appreciate it very much. If you enjoy this podcast, please tell others about it. And also please consider leaving a review on iTunes, which is very helpful if you're willing to do that for me. Thank you once again for tuning in today. Remember, there's a new episode every Monday, so come back and I'll talk with you again and hope you're here to listen. You can also sign up for the End of Life University interview series if you want to hear even more interviews each month. Until the next time we're together, remember to face your fear, be ready for whatever life brings your way, and love your beautiful life, every moment of it. Goodbye until the next time.